Hi there. Welcome to the From Lab to Launch podcast by Qualio, where we share inspiring stories from the people on the front lines of life sciences. Tune in and leave inspired to bring your life-saving products to the world. Now let's get started with Robert, Qualio founder and CEO, and our show host.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's show. I'm Grant, and I help produce this podcast. Before we tune in with Robert and today's guest, Dr. Heather Underwood, CEO of Evo Endo, I wanted to thank you for listening. We didn't know what really to expect when we started this podcast a few months ago, but we've had listeners on every continent. Well, I guess except Antarctica, as far as we can tell. But from San Francisco to Dublin to Bengaluru, Cairo, Tel Aviv, and Abu Dhabi, we are part of a global community working together to save and improve lives through life sciences. So thank you for being part of that. Dr. Heather Underwood and Qualio founder Rob Fenton discuss Evo Endo's journey to bringing sterile, single-use endoscopes without the use of anesthesia to the market. In this conversation, you'll learn how Evo Endo's products allow for more frequent monitoring and faster results for patients and healthcare providers, tips to the journey on FDA submissions, how to fundraise while building relationships and trust with your investors. You'll learn all that and a lot more between this discussion with Heather and Rob. So that's enough for me now. Let's get into the discussion. Enjoy.
I'd love to kick off with yourself, and maybe you can share a bit of background as to what brought you here today.
Thanks, Robert. It's been a pleasure to work with Qualio, and it's been kind of a career, as I'll know. But so I joined Evo Endo back in 2019. And before that, I was at the Stanford Biodesign Fellowship Program. I have always had a passion for working at this intersection of healthcare and technology. I did my PhD here at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and I was developing clinical decision support systems for midwives and nurses in Kenya. That was just an incredible project and really got me very excited and very interested about working directly with patients in that healthcare setting.
Yeah. But Evo Endo then, tell me about the leap from that background, which is fascinating to the company.
Yeah. So Evo Endo was founded in 2017 by a group of interdisciplinary physicians here at the Children's Hospital of Colorado. So it's gastroenterologists, pulmonologists, and ENT doctors here at Children's of Colorado. And they recognized the need to provide safer endoscopies for pediatric patients and their families. So currently the standard of care is to put a pediatric patient under general anesthesia, even to do a routine diagnostic upper endoscopy. So this comes with a lot of risk and a lot of cost, obviously, for both the hospital and the patients. So this interdisciplinary team, so Joel Friedlander, who is our co-founder and chief medical officer, he is a pediatric gastroenterologist, and he was looking at his ENT colleagues that were performing transnasal laryngoscopies. It's a very common procedure to go transnasally. And then his pulmonology colleagues had these really slim pediatric bronchoscopes that they were using for bronchoscopies. And this group realized that they could use the transnasal procedure with the pediatric bronchoscopes to go transnasally to do GI exams without the use of general anesthesia.
Oh, okay. So able to like modify or repurpose an existing product?
Yeah. So, I mean, they cobbled together. they really cobbled together the pieces of equipment to try this procedure and really proved out the feasibility of doing unsedated transnasal endoscopy in kids. And then what Evo Endo has really done is innovated and created a specifically designed single-use sterile endoscope for transnasal endoscopy in pediatric patients.
I'd love to ask, how does that happen? You mentioned cobbled together. So it's a common story. People are in a situation, you see a problem, you end up building something that solves it. And clearly there's been a lot of success for you and a lot of momentum. But can you talk a little bit about that process of cobbling together the first product and how that goes? Because I think that's the part that people often wonder about is, well, of course, it works great now, but how did it get there?
So the procedure of transnasal endoscopy has been around for a long time, almost exclusively in adults. Mm-hmm. And even then, if you think about a drinking straw, most of the endoscopes on the market are a little bit bigger than a drinking straw. And that goes into your nose and down your esophagus, into your stomach and your small intestine. So even for adults, the procedure is not historically very comfortable. And so that made the procedure pretty much impossible to perform in a child with a smaller nasal anatomy. which is where those pediatric bronchoscopes that Joel saw his colleagues using in pulmonology, they were small enough to go through the nose in a child. So they used the reusable pediatric bronchoscopes. They used the TNE procedure that has been around for a while. And then Joel added the patient distraction. So the patient actually wears a virtual reality goggle during the procedure. So I don't know if you're kids, but you sit them in front of a video or a movie and they're pretty distracted. And so he was able to perform this procedure in an awake patient by kind of putting these three pieces together. And so the pediatric bronchoscopes, they really don't, they're not meant for a GI exam, and they're reusable scopes. So that introduces infection risk, creates a lot of cost for the hospital around reprocessing and cleaning those scopes. And it also comes with a lot of breakage and maintenance. When these scopes get really, really tiny, they break more often. So like I said, cobbled these pieces together and proved out the feasibility of doing unsedated TNE in kids. And then Evo Endo, we saw the need for more of a turnkey system. So we did a lot of R&D over the last 4 years to design a specific transnasal gastroscope that will be the first and only scope on the market with a specific pediatric and adult indication for use. And it's a single-use scope designed for the TNE procedure.
That's such an interesting application of multiple technologies to solve the problem. It's amazing to hear that. So with this, doing some research beforehand, your folks are now pending 510K clearance, which is really exciting to get that across the line. Can you walk through what that process was like? Because we already mentioned that, okay, there were existing products that were similar on the market for different applications. Could you tell us a little bit about that journey? Because I think there's a lot of learning there, because a lot of companies, this is where they fall down often, is you have something that might work, but it's different to develop something that might work versus something that might work and you can get approval for.
The 510K process is long.
Yes.
That's all I, you know, at a high level, I think that
one of the shorter processes all the same.
That's true. But yeah, so we started, we've been working towards our FDA submission for basically since the company was founded, I suppose, but really for the last year and a half, we kept having deadlines for submission and then that kept getting pushed out, and it just takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to understand the standards and find the right people to assist with the testing and the report writing and finding qualified vendors to get everything that you need done to actually get that submission in a good spot to send to the FDA. I think another key piece is really to develop a relationship with the FDA. So we had several conversations with the FDA and reviewers in the department prior to submission, which was very helpful. I think we got some insight into the process and what they were looking for. And we were finally able to submit our 510K in March to the FDA.
I'm curious, with your product, what are the trends you think driving products like what you're doing? I think you're an example of a combination of existing technologies, but also looking towards these new avenues, right? To be able to provide value to the patients, right? VR goggles and those immersive experiences aren't traditionally thought of in the maybe more clinical setting that they're being used in now. What do you think are the trends driving companies like yourselves and some of this new wave or these new ideas being brought into healthcare? I'm sure this is a lot of the investor discussions you've had, but I'd love to understand how you look at this.
Yeah, I think for the VR component specifically, there are a lot of interesting technologies. Not a lot of them have really found a specific market. VR and AR have had, I think, a little bit of a slow start just in terms of a consumer application. And I think healthcare is one of those markets where VR could have a really big impact, especially for pediatric patients. Although we talk with a lot of adults that are like, where can I get my VR for my next procedure? Just makes the procedure a little less intimidating. You can be really dissociated from the procedure room and from what's happening.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of people going through various procedures or local anesthetic procedures, a lot of people getting vaccines right now would probably like a set of VR goggles.
Yeah, needle fear is a big one. And, kids and needle fear pretty much go hand in hand a lot of the time. And that's one of the great things about our system and about being able to do an unsedated TNE on a kid mm-hmm. is there's no needles. There's no pre-op. There's no post-op. It's not a surgical procedure. It's a it's done in the clinic space now.
Which is really awesome. A lot of the, I think there's some data supporting, right? These early experiences have a huge role in shaping overall fear or willingness to undergo these things in future. So I think having creating a positive environment when people are really young has a lifelong impact in terms of their ability to access healthcare.
With some of the more chronic GI conditions, so EoE, celiac, ulcers, it requires really frequent monitoring. EoE particular, it's a food allergy. So they do these food challenges 6 weeks apart. And then in order to monitor the progression or the treatment, they have to do another sedated endoscopy right now. So what our system will enable is actually more frequent monitoring and faster time to treatment in these patients with these chronic diseases that require regular endoscopies.
So with that, maybe let's move on to the fundraising. So I read the press release, big announcement yesterday. I'm really excited to watch you folks on that journey. Maybe tell us about the process. I'd be curious for whatever you can share about, you know, where the company was at, what it was like to raise that. It's a lot of capital, and I think it should be able to help you really move to that next level. Could you walk us through the maybe the steps and process as to how you, what made you decide now was the time? How did you do that? And what's that going to unlock for you?
Yeah, great question. You know, fundraising, it's an ongoing job, ongoing process. We have had a number of incredible investors, mostly family offices and individuals from the beginning, who are really passionate about our mission and just very supportive to bring this technology to market to really help the patients. So we have raised a number of convertible note rounds over the last 4 years. And so those all converted in this equity round. Mm-hmm. And the funds are really going to go towards the commercialization of our product this year, hoping to do a limited market release after we receive that FDA clearance later in 2021.
So it sounds like you raised from private individuals rather than like traditional venture capital or other groups like that. I'm curious, looking back on the experience, any lessons learned you'd like to share with other people who might be thinking about going down that path right now?
Any fundraising, it takes a lot of resilience and it takes a lot of persistence. We talked with many, many VCs before we were able to actually close this round. It's an interesting year, I think, with fundraising. We saw a lot of conservatism at first, you know, people kind of holding onto their funds, not knowing what was going to happen next with COVID. And then we saw this influx of capital to certain sectors in the life science and healthcare space. And I think it was just a matter of continuing to have those conversations with people and, you know, just developing those relationships with investors and showing them progress consistently over all of the last 12 months, I would say. I think
the hard part is showing consistent progress over time. It's often the thing people don't realize is that rarely are these single data points. In a lot of cases, people know people and have had a chance to both build a relationship and more importantly, the things that we say we do, have we done those and to what degree, so that they can believe when we talk about the future that there's a possibility or a likelihood that we'll be able to deliver on those milestones we raise on. So I think that's a valuable lesson. I know we're coming to the end of our time here, Heather. There's one question I'd love to ask you, and it's really kind of really focused on that idea of sharing advice and helping other founders and other CEOs and companies doing things like you're doing. And it's, if you could leave a voicemail to everybody in the industry, what would it be?
One of my favorite quotes is, failure isn't fatal and success isn't final. The only thing that matters is the willingness to continue. So I think I'd probably put that on a voicemail to give everyone who feels a little stuck right now in whatever aspect of the journey they're on, whether that's fundraising or regulatory, a little bit of hope. I think if we just keep at it and stay curious and keep learning, and also just to surround yourself with amazing people who are smarter than you and really trust. And I definitely couldn't have done that without them. So yeah, I think that's what's going to get us through and help us get on the market this year.
I really love that quote. I've got to find the source for that and keep a copy of it myself. Thank you for sharing that one, Heather. Yeah. This has been really awesome. I'd love to chat more, but I know we're coming up near the end of time. Is there anything else that you'd like to share or chat about before we finish up for the day?
Yeah, I just want to stress, you know, Evo Endo is, I think, on the cutting edge of single-use endoscopy technologies. And I think the market is moving in that direction. we're really excited to move forward after we get our FDA clearance and bring this technology to patients, pediatric patients and their families, and hopefully really make a difference in the quality of care.
Yeah, well, I'm excited that we're able to support you and looking forward to keeping in touch, Heather. Have a great day. Thank you for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of From Lab to Launch, brought to you by Qualio. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and give the show a positive review. It really helps us out. For more information about Qualio, our guest today, or to be a guest on a future episode, please refer to the show notes. Until next time.